Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time.
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be. And you know it.
With a tear in my eye.
The queen of the crop. Acknowledge me.
Episode 362 of Top Rope Nation, Ryan Drosty, Jesse Velasquez, Justin Joint, here to talk a little pro wrestling for you. As you're listening to this, as you're watching it, it's Halloween here in the United States. But I got news for you, Jack. We recorded this on Tuesday night. we're all out, you know, trick-or-treating right now. So we had to get this one in the can early. Justin Joint, how the hell are you doing tonight, man?
It's great finally getting to talk to you guys. It feels like it's been forever. So nice to finally catch up. Doing better than I was earlier tonight when we recorded our other podcast.
Justin started off in a bad mood, but look, talking classic pro wrestling perked him right up. So guys, if you're not a patron, we just recorded Top Rope Nation Classics right before doing this. Yes, we are doing two podcasts in the same night. We did TRN Classics on the 31st Saturday night's main event from October of 1992. Patrons can check that out. And as I mentioned, we pre-recorded this show, but patrons got early access to it. So If you want those kind of benefits, join the Patreon page, bonus shows, early access, a secret Facebook group, all kinds of stuff. Check it out. Link in the broadcast description. Jesse Velasquez, how are you, sir?
Healthier than I was an hour and a half ago, even though now I don't sound like it.
How healthy is my voice is dying?
That's the first time my voice has cracked all night. I have my water to the corner of me. So
incredible.
I know. No kidding. What a great opening to this one. That being said, my son, I'm hoping that as you're listening to this, he's actually trick-or-treating. This will be the first time going because he had RSV 2 years ago.
Oh, man.
And then last year he had some pretty, not nearly as severe symptoms, but just enough to kind of keep him away. And the weather's supposed to be a little bit miserable here, like mid-40s and rainy for our Halloween experience.
It's supposed to be pretty cold here too, although midweek here it's like mid-80s and then it's getting cold again. What a strange fall. Very, very strange fall. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's also been a strange time for pro wrestling fandom, I got to say. You know, I listened to you guys talk about the state of pro wrestling last week, and, you know, both companies kind of got you lacking excitement, and I am right there with you right now. I've just kind of felt out of it. And Justin, you've kind of made this point before too, that there's just so many things pulling at your attention that it's hard to like get excited unless there's something that some storyline that's on fire right now, you know, and there just hasn't been, you know, watching football a lot. It's the fall. Baseball playoffs, NBA and NHL are starting up. There's all kinds of great TV series that I'm watching right now. And it's just like, man, wrestling just keeps falling to the back of the line. And I still watch it out of routine, but it's been like a grind. There's been nothing that has been really pulling me in to watch the shows or getting me that excited. That said, live wrestling is always what you need to fix that. And last week, Justin and I had a chance to attend AEW Collision in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And Jesse, you went to an indie show with a good friend of the pod. And, you know, with that being the topic tonight, we're going to kind of continue what was on episode 361 about the state of play in wrestling. But now we're going to get into more positives with I think live wrestling is going to be the main discussion tonight. So, Justin, was that what you were thinking? We're just going to kind of talk about what we experienced lately, right?
Yeah, I think it was a pretty unique night, being that all three of us went to a live show. Me, I got to take my son. You know, me and him had a whole day together. Ryan, you went with your entire tribe, basically.
Except for the youngest,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, except for the youngest. Three rows back, Jesse got to go see Ultimo Dragon with soon-to-be Papa Huffman. So that sounded awesome. So I just thought, like, yeah, our wrestling fandom is hitting a little bit of the doldrums right now. But, you know, Brian hit the nail on the head. Nothing cures that. And not to say we're permanently cured, but nothing maybe relieves that a little bit, like seeing some live wrestling.
Yeah. So with that said, Jesse, how'd your weekend go with Papa Huffman, good friend Ryan Huffman?
Papa Huffman is greater than Papa Shango.
Seemed to be Papa Huffman, I should have said, but yeah.
It was fun. I mean, North St. Paul, which is about 15-minute drive from me, super simple. For Ryan, it's 2.5 hours, I think he said. And he actually left before the main event. You're going to be surprised to hear that the main event wasn't Mustafa Ali and Ultimo Dragon.
Oh, it wasn't?
No, it was not. And he actually came up for some meet and greets. So Midwest All-Star Wrestling, they run a lot of different people that you would know. So like Joe Hendry and Jordan Grace were there the month prior at a show in Woodbury, which is where my son was born. And this month you had Ultimo Dragon and Yuji Nagata open the show.
Really?
Signed autographs.
Yeah, wow. That's crazy.
Lita, Mickey James, Kelly, Victoria, ODB from TNA. I want to say Scott Steiner was signing autographs there as well. Doink, the newest Doink, and Dink. Dink version 2. He was also signing autographs there as well. So Ryan got a few of those in. Crowd was good sized, I would say, for a basketball gym. It's like 600-700 people, if I read right on. This is on cagematch.net for those who don't follow the promotion, but Mustafa Ali and Ultimo Dragon had about a 4-minute match, which then, of course, two local heels jump in. And much like my experience with Dante Martin and Rob Van Dam at the first Wrestling Mall of America show, it turned into a tag match.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Did you feel let down by that at all, or did they execute it good enough that...
They executed it the same way they did at first, where, I mean, I was fine with Dante and RVD teaming. I would have much rather have seen the Dream match.
Yeah.
Because when it happened, they had gone through a sweet little minute sequence. I'm like, all right, they're just getting started. And then at least two known, Aria Davari and Sonny Kiss, ran out in that one. And that's what the tag match was for first.
Okay. So how did the crowd react to the bait and switch?
They were fine with it. I think all night long, the crowd was very receptive of it. And there was some, I thought there was some pretty solid talent outside of not just Mustafa Ali, Ultimo Dragon, Yuji Nagata. You had their champion, JDX, he ended up losing the championship. But you could see those guys in dark matches, I would assume, for an AEW or a WWE. And I could see the woman who did main event and won the title. I mean, you've heard of Lainey Luck. I mean, she's a pretty highly known independent woman. She is was the MAW Women's Champion. She lost it on this night to a 23-year-old from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. So I'm assuming if she wasn't there with that North St. Paul crowd, she was going to be with you guys, probably maybe wrestling Anna Jay, putting her over that night. I don't know. But yeah, she's 23 years old, out of the Black and Brave Academy. And former volleyball player, very athletic, good charisma. Name's Maggie Lee. I could see her being on a big show in the next couple of years, especially with Now you get a WWE ID announcement today with their independent talents too. So she could go that route. She go the AEW route. I mean, but I do see a future for her, especially her being so young. And one of the prettier moonsaults I've seen this year to end the match. So nice. I came away with that going, all right, I think this that she's definitely got a future. So someone to look for moving forward.
Way to drop the WWE ID news too. I haven't looked into it enough. I don't know how I feel about it, but yeah, that's happening.
Yeah. There's a tag team.
About it. I'll just say that. I do not feel positive about it at all.
We'll get into that next week too, but
yeah.
No, there was a tag team that interjected in that JDX match that reminded me of Top Flight. A lot of athletic ability, and they just kind of made a name for themselves. They actually turned on the guy who won the championship. So JDX lost the match to Verk. This guy's about 6'4", moves pretty well. I could see him being enhancement talent down the road. So, but yeah, that tag team, and I've been scouring the net for their names and can't find it. Just kind of to save my life. But I mean, just to see people again, I saw it was probably about 25% kids in the audience too.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. Super cool to see. Very family oriented. This was my second indie show this year. And those are always fun. And of course, talking to, I think I got distracted from about 40% of the matches because Ryan and I were just chatting pro wrestling in the pictures.
Yeah. Huffman is always talking up that promotion to me. He goes to a lot of their shows because they always have a lot of star power and he's really into getting things signed and stuff. And, I can't remember now if they've made any new agreements. I know down here at the Tragos Thez Hall of Fame, they've had a promotion out of Des Moines that's been running the indie show during the Hall of Fame weekend for a long time. But the guy who owns that promotion is kind of taking a step back from the Hall of Fame. So if that Impact Pro Wrestling group is not going to be running the Hall of Fame show anymore, I would love to see Midwest All-Star Wrestling step in, because just from a star power perspective, they seem to always be able to bring in top names. Like you were just running through, that's an insane amount of like nationally recognized people on an indie show. And I've always felt like the Tragos Thez Hall of Fame should have an indie show with that kind of star power on it. I think that's one of the things that it's always kind of been lacking, just because the Hall of Fame is pretty well known. They need a bigger indie show. And I think they could do that. You know, Pro Wrestling Revolver is another one I could see getting involved, which would be pretty cool there too. So, you know, if IPW is stepping back, I'd love to see one of those two promotions step in. Cause all I hear is positive things about both of them, but especially up there in Minnesota.
Do you guys think, that Mustafa Ali basically just, I mean, he's been doing some TNA, but mostly just independent stuff. Do you think that's by choice, or he has not gotten an offer maybe from an AEW or I guess to go back to WWE?
He's one of the guys I thought was going to get, he's going to have a huge year and maybe get signed next year. I don't necessarily know, because I'm assuming he's making a decent amount of money on his merch too. I mean, Matt Cardona making kind of showing the way for a lot of these people, where he can pop up in AEW on occasion, but he's still gonna make money in the indies. He's, for example, he's the first wrestling world champion right now. He won the championship from Devon Monroe about 2 or 3 months ago. So I mean, he's been a part of GCW. Yeah, Mustafa. I thought he was going to sign with AEW right away, to be honest with you. I think I felt he was treated unfairly. I thought they could have ran with something with him and Kofi when Kofi won the title, because Mustafa had his spot taken in that Elimination Chamber match from Kofi, and he showed some charisma and could talk with the leader as the leader of Retribution, in spite of the fact that the angle didn't turn out that hot. So, I mean, this was kind of just like an introduction with TNA. Did some New Japan work as well. So, I mean, you can always hold out for another year or two, try to make his star shine brighter. I think he's got a shot to do so.
Yeah, it's kind of always felt to me like he's just doing whatever the hell he wants for a little while, and he's making plenty of money doing that. So maybe he just doesn't feel the need to sign quite yet. But I agree with you, Jesse. I thought he would end up in AEW instantly. That not happening kind of surprised me. But yeah, like you mentioned, Cardona kind of showed the way. And I mean, he's making plenty of money and probably pretty, I mean, I'm sure he's a lot happier than he was before. So he can kind of do his thing until he wants to settle in with one promotion. But right now he can kind of work whoever he wants to. And he probably is loving that freedom. So
he called it a dream match multiple times in the night. He's like, I can't believe I'm working with Ultimo Dragon.
Yeah. Okay.
Trump endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The next day, I went back and watched Ultimo Dragon versus Rey Mysterio Jr. from World War III, 1996, which was one of his two highest rated matches on, or Dave gave it 4.5. And I think the other one that he gave 4.5 to was the next month with him and Malenko at Starrcade 96. Yeah, Ultimo is one of the more, I don't know, not necessarily underappreciated wrestlers of all time, but I think unheralded. I mean, just the incredible stuff he was able to do. The super, what was it? The eight, he had the eight championships at once, like the Super J eight.
Yeah. He's been to the Tragos Thez Hall of Fame. And I remember at his autograph table, he was selling the picture with all the belts.
Ran Turaman. I mean, guy is definitely a living legend in 57. I mean, you could tell obviously physique goes a little, but he could still move. He could still do some things. I would say he leans more, what was the comparison I made that night to Huffman? I said he's definitely less Jericho right now at 57, and he's more, I think I said Shelton Benjamin. I mean, it's maybe somewhere in the middle there.
Justin, how are you feeling down there, man?
Better, so much better than the beginning of the night.
Yeah.
Not that the Yankees have a fucking prayer of coming back from 3-0, even though it has been 20 years since that happened with the Red Sox. Yeah. That would be some nice karma. But I'm just happy because it's looking like I get to go watch some more Yankees baseball, World Series baseball with my dad and my son tomorrow. So I'm doing much better, guys.
Nice. Well, you're doing pretty good on Saturday, too. Should we talk about this AEW show?
Yes.
So here's what I want to say, because when they ran Des Moines, talked about it on the show, I think definitely in the Facebook group, that I felt that they should have run Cedar Rapids instead of Des Moines. And people who just follow attendance figures are going to say something, you know, will be like, Ryan, look, you were wrong. They drew less people than they did in Des Moines. But I mean, here's the thing. This is Collision. It's not Dynamite like they ran in Des Moines. I think Des Moines ended up doing around 2,800 fans or something like that. And Cedar Rapids, they did, I haven't seen a final figure on this, but I think it was around 1,700 when it all came down to it, which is, they took away some sections. That's what they ended up setting up the building for. And they closed strong, and that's about what they got in there. It's a smaller venue than Des Moines. I think way more in tune with how AEW is drawing right now. I think if this was Dynamite, they would have had a bigger showing from the crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, Collision, a lot of times Collision does have advertised matches. This show did not have any advertised matches until 2 days before. They didn't even advertise anything for it during Dynamite last week. So, I mean, you were really clueless as to who was going to be on this show. It's the B show. It was also at the slightly after, but you couldn't go to both of them. They booked this show at the same time as a home Iowa Hawkeyes football game, which is going to have 80 to 90,000 people in Iowa City with tailgating and the game 20 minutes down the road. So that wasn't great from a scheduling perspective. Hawkeyes are like a religion in the eastern side of Iowa. So all of that working against them, I think it still closed well. I think they only had like 900 tickets sold or something like a week before, 6 days before the show. And they ended up getting like 1,700 in there. It looked good on TV. It's a good size venue for them. You know, I hope they actually do run there again and they have more advertised. Justin, I saw you made this point. The Collision poster that they advertised for this show, not a single one of the people that was on the poster was actually on the show, which is kind of insane. But they did end up giving us a pretty strong card. I got my tickets like the day they went on sale. So I was third row, straight on from the hard cam. I mean, awesome seats. I had my two oldest daughters there. My wife went. sat by one of my good friends and his entire family and his wife, Jay Schmitz, who's been on the pod before. Justin was there with his boy. So a lot of friends there, two rows in front of me. If you guys watched the show, you probably saw him hold up our Top Rope Nation sign. Was my friend Adam Martin, who used to be the editor-in-chief of WrestleView.com, which is one of my first wrestling writing gigs. He was there, got to meet up with him. Great to see him. I have not seen him in years. So just meeting up with a lot of people. A good show overall. Had a blast. It was so much fun. You know, we, Justin and I and the Schmitzes, we ate at Big Grove Brewery in Cedar Rapids before the show, just a few blocks away. Had some
highly
beers.
Highly recommend.
Great food. Yeah, great food. Got to the venue. I mean, watching wrestling with kids is always fun, you know, and seeing how they react to it, it makes it even more fun, I feel. And, you know, Jesse, you'll be there soon with your boy as he gets a little older. We did not take our youngest. She's three. I would not take her yet. But once they get a little bit older and you can start taking them, man, it is so much fun to watch wrestling with your kids.
Absolutely. That's like, you know, I had, as much as I like to support AEW just because, you know, they're the alternative and I like as many, you know, good options for wrestling promotions as better. It makes for a healthier industry. I had no intentions of going to this show. Ticket prices across the board and everything are just fucking ridiculous. And AEW is no different in that regards. And, you know, it being a collision show and it turned out this way, you know, I knew we weren't really going to get any big matches and they didn't advertise shit to Ryan's point, but it just so turned out that, me and the wife were talking about like, well, what are we going to get Kit for his birthday? And he just happened to mention like, hey, when do I get to go to wrestling again? And she's like, is there anything coming up? And I was like, well, actually there is something coming up. So as part of my boy's birthday, we got him tickets for the show. Me and him were going to go. And this was, you know, long before I thought the Yankees had any chance of getting to the World Series. So I did end up missing game two, which turned out to be okay. But, so me and the boy, we just had a day, man. Like he had his, pseudo tennis lessons in the morning. He got his hair cut. I did his Darby face paint because, you know, it was only an hour away and I could get home and get him washed up before bed. We went to an arcade, you know, God, I can't remember the name of it. Quarter barrel, I believe. Yeah. Which taught me a lot because he said that was by far the highlight for him. So note to self, I'm not taking him to any wrestling anytime soon. you know, and then yeah, Big Grove was fantastic. And then we went to the show, which Ryan, would you agree? Don't you think even though it was smaller and it was Collision and not Dynamite, I thought this crowd was a lot better than that Des Moines Dynamite. I don't know how it came off on TV, but I thought it was a really smart and engaged crowd.
Yeah, it just. Again, like for all the reasons I talked about leading up to that Des Moines show, this arena is just so much better because Wells Fargo in Des Moines is a cavernous arena. I mean, it's over 15,000. It's like an NBA sized arena. And this one, I think it's caps out at 7,000 or 8,000. It's not that big. And then of course you got the entranceway on one side, but it's also a venue that's hosted a lot of wrestling over the years. Clash of the Champions in 94, the famed NWO sold out show. They had Nitros there. They had Thunder there back in the day. WWF TV tapings, Wrestling Challenge, I think. So like it's held a lot of televised wrestling. It's got a strong history of holding wrestling, mostly WWE house shows of late, but it is a more intimate building. And I think that translated well on TV. It seemed louder in there. It seemed the same way to me. Like the crowd was louder. They're more on top of the action and, you know, it didn't have as much star power as Dynamite, but man, the crowd was really into it. Cedar Rapids traditionally has had pretty good wrestling crowds. And again, I know if you're not from Iowa and you're listening to this podcast and you've been following the ticket sales, you're going to say, oh God, that show bombed, but it really didn't. It closed well. It's in the category of, it's less, but it's close to what AEW has been selling of late. You know, they had the go home show to Wrestle Dream in Spokane, and they sold 1,800 tickets to that show. And that was Dynamite with Bryan Danielson on a go home pay-per-view. That number is worse than 1,700 for Collision in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, while the Iowa Hawkeyes are playing. I'm sorry. That's a way worse attendance number. It might have been 100 more, but it's the A show with Bryan Danielson. So I don't really think that this number, it's in line with what they're doing. And Dynamite would have done more. Justin, you made a great point on the ticket sales now, or the ticket prices. They dropped ticket prices the last day or two. And there was a bunch of $15 tickets. I know, because I looked and I was like, shit, I could have saved money if I had waited. But like, that's one of the problems with AEW is they're just pricing their tickets way too high. Because I mean, I think about the cheapest tickets early on for this show were around $40. And then you add on the fees and you're talking about, if you got a family of four, it's like over $200 to get in the building. AEW just doesn't have that kind of brand recognition to be charging that. But when they lowered the worst seats to like $15, they moved quickly. I mean, if they were selling them at that price since the beginning, how many more fans would have been in there?
Yeah.
You know, with more time to sell them. So I think they got to find this balance of where they're pricing their tickets. They're just too high right now in most markets. Maybe you can get away with that in New York, but in the middle of America, you just can't right now. They don't have enough population to draw from and enough people who are curious about it that'll pay that kind of money. But yeah, I mean, they got a good crowd. They sold out the whole lower bowl all the way over to the hard cam. I know a lot of these TVs that they've been running lately, they don't sell anything on the side of the hard cam. They had people sitting over there in the whole lower bowl all the way to the hard cam. That was sold out, and they had a few people in the second deck opposite the hard cam. They did sell those for a while, and then they ended up pulling those. But the people who bought them originally, I assume, were up there. So yeah, I mean, it was a fun time. I was happy with how the ticket sales closed, but I was even happier at the show. Just sitting third row is such a fun experience for televised wrestling, and actually, you know, being able to hear the people talking to each other and then, you know, them ranting at the crowd and stuff. I mean, some highlights for me, the Outrunners are so freaking awesome. I mean, I like watching them on TV, but seeing them live, like, push them up my tier list more. Yeah. They are so engaging live. They have so much charisma. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were the highlight of the show to me, like, easily. I would also call out Anna Jay. We've talked about her on the pod since she went to Japan and how much she has improved. She was awesome, dude. She was great live. Not saying she's like the best women's wrestler I've ever seen or anything, but like, I've seen her wrestle live a number of times, and there was a big difference this time. You could just tell that something's clicked for her, and you know, she's a lot better now. FTR, of course, they're on the show. They were great. Ricochet, crowd was into Ricochet. Justin, highlights for you?
I mean, it was just, it was a lot of fun start to finish. There wasn't like really anything bad on the show. To your point, the Outrunners were incredibly over. It was fun seeing FTR, especially against Roosh, was really freaking cool. I was pretty devastated that, you know, finding out at Big Grove that Jay had been trying to convince his kids that he was also Beast Mordos, and the fact that the, you know, our boy Beast Mordos showed up multiple times in the show. I was pretty devastated, you know, for the kids to find out the truth.
Their dad's not actually
Beast Mordos.
He kept telling them, look, we've never been in the same room together. Yeah.
I guess two things, one non-wrestling related. First off, this is the second or third time I've seen this at a live show. Will Hobbs is always out there, man. Even when he hasn't been on the show forever, but he is always out there in, you know, not really in the crowd, but he's out in the arena watching the show, wanting to take it all in. And I can't say that for anybody else. He's the only one I've ever seen out there. Yeah. He was by the barrier. I believe, Ryan, you got a picture with him and your girls.
I got to tell that story. We came out of the bathroom, and it was kind of over by the hard cam. And yeah, there was like the steel guardrail over there separating the fans from like all the production equipment. And he was just standing there right by the guardrail. And some people walk by, nobody talked to them. And I walked by, I was like, that's Powerhouse Hobbs right there. And I said to my two girls, you guys got to get a picture with him. And one of my girls was kind of reluctant. She's a little more shy. And I was like, no, you're going to take a picture. So I went over there and I was like, hey man, you take a picture with my girls. And he looked at them and he was like, I can't say no to these two. And he took a picture with them. He was super friendly. And when I walked out of the show later on, there's kind of a curtain over there, but you could see behind it. And he was just sitting there like on a stool, like he'd been watching the whole show through the curtain on that side. And he was the only person there. So, yeah, I mean, like Will Hobbs, he's always there. He's engaged. He's watching the show and makes you wish they do more with him in the future. Yeah. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Fingers crossed on that there. I think there's definitely a spot for him in the future. So hopefully Tony gets on that. My last thing, non-wrestling related, because your kids are always here to prove you wrong or make you look dumb. My kid's a really picky eater, but for some reason on Saturday, he ate breakfast amazing. He had a brunch and then he had lunch. And on the way to Cedar Rapids, he's like, Dad, are you going to stop for gas? Because I'm getting hungry and I need some snacks. So he had snacks. And so by the time we get to Big Grove, you know, I'd spent, you know, quite a bit of money considering tickets and everything else. And I was starting to feel, yeah.
It was the can, Big Grove. I was drinking.
That's right. Yeah. I was feeling a little frugal by the time we got to Big Grove. So I was like, well, he's been eating all day. Even when he doesn't eat all day, if we go out to eat, he eats maybe a third of it, maybe a half of it. So I'm just going to get fries and I'll eat probably, you know, 75% of his food. He got chicken tenders and fries and he proceeded to eat all of it except for one third of a chicken tender. So that was my dinner. They live to make us look dumb, everybody. God love him.
He's a growing boy.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, this is a kid who has his dad making these practically award-winning ribs and won't touch them.
I know.
Jeez,
but I know.
Now he's eating. Maybe next summer, Justin.
Fingers crossed.
Needs to, that's for sure. No Sam Irvin sighting?
No.
No.
She was there too.
Yeah, she was there. I saw that.
Yeah. No, didn't see her. Yeah. So I guess, you know, the big idea here, guys, is no matter how down you could be on the current product, and certainly we're kind of there with you right now as we trudge through the doldrums of the fall and pro wrestling, it just feels kind of a like this stopgap period where we're waiting for things to heat up again. And maybe that's intentional because it's football season. They know people are distracted too. But look, live wrestling, it doesn't matter if it's the big leagues like WWE or AEW or an indie show, you know, like Jesse talked about. If there's a show around you, and especially if you have kids, you should get out there. You'll have fun. It will kind of reignite your love of this crazy thing called pro wrestling. I think, you know, if you just get in the building, if it's been a while, because it's been a few months for me, but it still feels like a while. And it kind of reignited it, that spark in me for wrestling a little bit again, just being there. And I mean, again, it was Collision. It's AEW's B show, but it was a blast. Had so much fun.
I watched about 2/3 of it. I was impressed with Jay White, Shane Taylor, the opener. I thought that was fun. Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
Jay and Juicer, obviously super engaging. And then the Wheeler Yuta promo. Holy moly.
Yeah. Yeah. I am A-okay with a Wheeler Yuta and Nigel McGuinness match down the road if there's any chance we can get that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it was a fun time. I don't know if this came across on TV, but yeah, that Jay White Shane Taylor match was really fun live. And Taylor got heat from the crowd because he turned out at us and he was like, I'm going to beat his ass just like Ohio State beat the Hawkeyes ass. And everyone just booed the shit out of him after he said that. And that was great local heat. I'll give him a nod for that. I don't know if
keep
that
forgetting he's an Ohio
TV.
Guy.
Yeah.
I like it.
But yeah, Jay White was super over too. I mean, it's been a long time since there's been a televised wrestling event in that building and the people who were there were loving it and eating it all up. So hopefully it'll come back. Would love to see it again. Guys, I think that's all we wanted to talk about. We're going to do a kind of a tight show because we know a lot of you are probably out there you know, doing the trick-or-treating thing too, but we want to hit some content for you. And again, you can check out our Patreon page for that bonus show we recorded today too on TRN Classics over Saturday night's main event from November, air date of November 1992, the night Shawn Michaels won his first gold in the WWF, defeating the British Bulldog for the IC title. We talked about all of it. We talked about Bret Hart and Papa Shango, the Ultimate Maniacs with the Warrior and Savage against Money Inc., all the drama going on with Warrior and Bulldog during that era and the drug tests. It's a good listen. Would love to have you guys support. $5 a month gets you instant access to over 160 bonus shows on our Patreon page. Try it out for a month. See what you think. Guys, it's a fun, loose conversation. I enjoyed it. Appreciate having you along for the ride. Justin, good luck the rest of the way in the World Series.
Thank you. Dad, if you're listening, he never fucking listens. He's never heard this. I'll see you tomorrow.
And we'll see you tomorrow night.
Yeah, there you go. Jesse, take care, man. Good talking as always.
You guys as well. It's been the few weeks since we've been a trio. I know, yeah, I've led. Yeah. I led the Brian Zillum Wrestle Dream mm-hmm. post show, and then it was Justin and I last week. So here we are this week as a trio. Always better this way.
Oh, we made up for it. We've been on the air tonight for about 2.5 hours between the two shows. So did some serious podcasting. Guys, hope you all have a great weekend. Hope you enjoyed trick-or-treating if you do that and partake. And we'll be talking to you all again next week. Take care, everybody.
Trump endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.